This is Chasing Encounters, a podcast about stories, languages, cultures, and identities. We highlight diversity and intersectionality in contemporary society through respectful and thought-provoking conversations. Hello, everybody. This is Yacine Ortega, and this is Chasing Encounters, one more episode. It's a beautiful day on a Saturday on November. It doesn't look like it's a fall slash window. It's kind of warm for today, which I love it because I get to go out and do stuff without having to think of wearing a coat. So it's nice. So we have a wonderful person today, a friend of mine that I really admire for the work that she's doing. She's a fellow Colombian as well, and let's see what we're going to be talking about, her work, her background as Colombian, and also the work that she's been doing for a while. So welcome. And tell us a little bit about your background. I know you're Colombian, but you're specifically from Cali in Colombia, which I was there once, and it's a pretty place, pretty people, nice people to talk to, like yourself. So tell us a little bit about Cali, Colombia. Perhaps your relationships with your family, where you're coming from, a little bit about that.
So I am from Cali, Colombia, which is in the southwest of the country. It's a city that is well known for salsa music, salsa dancing. Mm-hmm. my first language is Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I would say I was born and raised there. I lived there for my first 25 years. And this, I would say my family is a little bit non-traditional. If we look at the culture, especially at the time, people in the country at that time, I don't know now anymore, but it was very Catholic oriented as a religion.
Right.
And also there are some practices that maybe my family didn't adhere to. So there was no religion at home, really. Mm-hmm. And there also, marriage wasn't that important. People would just live together and and have kids in my family, which was not customary at the time.
Oh, my God.
So that was a bit different. Wow. And what else? I grew up also in a household. My sister went to ballet school.
Wow.
It was a school that was sponsored for the Cubans and French. So at home, we were listening always to French stuff and Russian, and we were reading books from every place in the world. Mm-hmm. So if I may continue, I think that's a big influence in my life ever since. Before I ever left Colombia, I already been to so many places through literature and through music.
Nice.
And when I grew up and was able to maybe leave and go places, I really wanted to visit them physically. But I feel like I've been to more than 100 countries just because I've been there through literature and music, like I said.
Nice, that's great. Do you know how to dance salsa, by the way?
Of course.
You need to teach them this someday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, what I was going to ask the question, I understand that you was born and raised in Cali for 25 years. What happened after this? After you're 25, did you move to places? I know you've been traveling around your whole life, but what happens after that? Where did you move and why?
Mm-hmm, good question. So as I mentioned, I felt like growing up, I was interested in many places and many people. I would say locations themselves, different buildings and religions and people and attitudes and languages. Before even I left Colombia, when I finished high school, I considered studying, it was a program called Modern Languages.
Oh.
And I actually started there. I did 1 year of that program when I was simultaneously studying computer engineering at a different university. So I was attending two programs in two different universities.
Wow.
And it got to be too busy, so I quit the modern languages. But I was interested in that because I wanted, it was just a personal interest. I just found fascinating how people can be different and special in so many ways.
Nice.
So I always had that in my mind. I wanted to travel inspired by my own experience, by the books and everything else around me. Growing up, we were not in a position to do that. We were, I would say, in the, you know, Colombia is a, I would say, socioeconomically stratified society, highly stratified. Right. And I come from the lower spectrum, so I was a lower socioeconomic status. There was no chance for to go anywhere except through, like I said, through dreaming and through movies and books. And so when I graduated university as a computer engineer and I started working, I started saving for traveling. I needed to go somewhere.
Nice.
And that was, at the beginning I said my family was a little non-traditional and I was also non-traditional. Everybody I was, most people I remember when we started working, everybody wanted to buy a car. They were saving to buy a car. I was saving to travel.
Oh, I see.
So no one else I knew had the same idea that I had.
I don't need a car. I want to travel.
Yeah, so that was kind of also a bit different. And my family always says they've been very supportive and very open. They didn't expose a path for any of us. They're like, okay, what do you want to do? When and how? Go for it. You know, we're here for you. So I knew that I could do things differently and nobody was going to stop me.
Right.
They are gonna be enabling me instead, like in terms of my family. So yeah, I worked for 4 years and I was saving money and I thought, because in the past I wanted to study these modern languages to learn like French and English and other things, I decided to learn English. So I came to Canada for supposedly for 1 year. So I saved money and I came here to study the language.
Oh, so you came to Canada to study English?
Yes.
Where did you go to study English?
I went to Brock University. I attended their English as a second language program for 1 year.
Nice.
And that was incredible because there were many international students there. And back home, we have a very, quite homogeneous society. Like, we don't have people speaking different language. Mm-hmm. We don't have people who looked very different in general.
Right.
So when I came here, I knew, I expected that. So I knew because, like I said, I read, right? I read since I was like 3 years old. I've been reading. So I knew like what to expect.
Right.
And at the same time, I was so happy just to be with so many people. I had like Japanese classmates and Korean classmates and Mexicans and some Europeans and all these different people. So that was like amazing. That for me was like an experience that I will not forget.
Nice. No, this is great. So that's your first introduction to learning English, introduction to learning about other people from all around the world, etc. And I'm glad that you have the chance to come to Canada and learn languages and get the chance to meet lots of people. Mm-hmm. If you were, I know you have visited many places, if you were to tell me two or three of the places that you have visited throughout your life, what would be one, two, or three places that you want to share with us, your favorite ones, and why? Could you say one, or two, or three, whatever you want.
Yes, thank you for that question. I get that question many times.
I imagine.
People, as friends, colleagues, and everybody ask me that question because they know that I like going places. And my first answer is I love every place. I do. It's the truth.
Sure.
I like every place I've been. I like the nature, the geography. I like the food. I like the people. I tend to spend at least 3 weeks in each place I visit, if not more. My goal is normally 2 months, just to get a better sense. I just like getting to know people and getting to see their reality instead of just like the touristic places, which I also like to see. But I really like to explore beyond that.
Right.
So I try to plan my trips that way. So yeah, every place I've been is just amazing. Then I will ask you something. Or maybe I will do it this way.
Sure.
I would recommend for someone who, because depending on your interests, things will, you know, you like one or the other. So I have an interest in nature. I like mountains, I like rivers, I like that kind of thing. So if I was to say a place that I was like wow by was the south of Argentina. you know, where so they have the glaciers, Patagonia and that region. For me, it was breathtaking from the moment I was looking down the plane through the window and I saw all these ice and these blue lagoons kind of water. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I want to be there so bad. So when I went there, it was just like amazing. I loved it so much. If we talk about history, I think Turkey is a fantastic place. Nice. I was there only for 3 weeks. Sadly, I would have stayed for like 2 months if I could. And some of my trip, I hired like an archaeologist to guide me. So that was very interesting because she was able to, you know, to explain things and refer back to architecture and history. And that was really, really good. And you might know that Turkey is between Europe and Asia.
Yes.
So if you could not go anywhere else, I would say go to Turkey because you get both. You get so much. It's very rich culturally, religion as well. You know, have two religions not merging together, but cohabitating, or they are together in the same place. So that's super interesting. And also the nature is breathtaking. So it's like everything in one.
Interesting.
And I think the other two places I would say quickly, maybe if you like to party.
Berlin.
I like Hong Kong a lot.
Oh, I've never been to Hong Kong.
I really like to party in Hong Kong.
I like Berlin.
Hong Kong is great for me to party. And I also like Barcelona.
Right.
For that reason.
Ibiza. Have you been to Ibiza?
I haven't.
Ibiza?
Supposed to do that for one of my birthdays. And
that's what a lot of people have been saying. Like for party, it's Ibiza.
Yes, it hasn't happened yet.
Well, for me, it's because I like hardcore techno. So Berlin is probably my favorite one. If it is about party, like 3 days in a row partying. You know, when I went to Berlin, I was for 3 days, literally from Saturday to Sunday, 3 days, 70-something hours of just party. I mean, I didn't party the 70-something hours. But just the fact to know that there is this possibility that the club... Some of the clubs that I went, they're open for 3 days, nonstop.
Yes.
I was like, this is fascinating. But I hear you. Like, just so the audience know, like, I think Adriana and I share similarities. I also like traveling. I understand you, the reasons why you like traveling, because you want to connect with people. You want to learn about others. Adriana and I, we share these things is in common, right? So speaking about things in common, in your trips, in your travels, the places where you've been, is there one thing? I know there are many things, but is it? Can we say that there is one thing that you have seen in common among peoples that you say, I think these are the three things or the things that I have found in common on the different places that I've been or not?
I would say yes. The thing I see in common is people are very proud of like their culture, the food, the language. They're very proud of that and it means a lot to them. Yes. So I think that's a very common thing from everywhere. Like from, I go to Mexico and it's so strong how they're like, I'm Mexican and this is a Mexican food and Mexican music and Mexican this, and they're so proud of it. And
no, I think I must agree with you in what you just said, because I was about to say that in the, I haven't traveled as much as you, but I have traveled, and one of the common things that I have seen is that sense of, I'm not going to say necessarily nationalism, but being proud of the culture. And what I've noticed is they are proud to tell you and show you, like if you go, they are proud of show you the streets or the places that they you should visit this, you should visit that, let me take you. They are really even willing to translate for you and all of those things. All right, so moving on, because you have traveled so much, I know you've somehow fell in love with Asia, specifically one country, one city specifically, and then we're zooming in now into this specific country that you have in, you're interested. And because you were interested in this country, then you decided to do your master's, study your master's, and then do research related to this country. So tell us a little bit about, I'm not going to say which country because I want you to say.
Yes, of course.
So go ahead, tell us about this country that you got interested specifically.
Yes, I'm quickly going to go back a little bit on that decision, because what happened is when I went there, which I'm gonna say later where, I didn't know anything about the place.
Right.
What happened, I was here, it was 2014, so I've been working for 20 years in engineering and technology.
Right.
And I kept always trying new things, and then I thought at that point, I only know two languages, I want to learn a third language. So I was like, what language should I learn that would be fun to learn? So I definitely wanted to learn a language where the writing system was different from ours, because that would be more interesting and more challenging. I like challenges. So there are many, though. There are many, right? There's like, I don't know, Russian, Thai, whatever. For some reason, I was like, yeah, Mandarin. I should learn Mandarin. That sounds like so much fun to do. And there's so many Mandarin speakers in the world. I can like meet people when I travel and be able to chat with them. So that's how I decided why Mandarin. You know, right. The writing system is different. It sounds very different. And I will be able to communicate with lots of people when I travel.
Right, right.
And then I was like, okay, where should I go? Like, I've been to China before. And I thought, okay, I could go to China or I could go to maybe Singapore. But I know Singapore, I heard they speak a lot of English there. So I thought maybe I will not be able to practice as much. And then I look at Taiwan.
Taiwan,
you know, I didn't know anything really about Taiwan except for it was called Formosa before, because I learned that like in high school when I was in Colombia, and I knew like the flag, the currency. and pretty much that was it. And then I was like, wow, that's new. I've never been there. So that sounds like a best place to go.
Right.
And then I looked at the map and I was like, okay, the capital city is Taipei. And I thought, oh, that might be too modern. I've been living in Toronto for like 15 years and I don't want more of the same. I want a different experience. So I looked around the country and I found this smaller town in the south called Tainan. I didn't know at that time that was the previous capital of the country. And then I looked at the universities and I found one called National Cheng Kung University that sounded very interesting. And I just registered one day in an afternoon. I figured all this in one afternoon of nice. Google and check and all sent an application for the language program. And I went.
Nice.
And then the love story begins.
Let's hear about the love story.
So I honestly think that I would have loved any other place as well.
Right.
If I went to any maybe Arab countries, which also the language, you know, Arabic and the writing, I would have. Right. I think it would have been a very similar experience.
Nice.
It just happened to be this one. You know, and I went there and I was just so happy to not understand anything and to discover all these different aspects of the society. And at school, the school was very, they teach you about culture, not just the language itself, because Mandarin is, to understand Mandarin, you need to understand the culture. Even when you're writing, you know, the characters originally, they're representing the objects or the things. If you see a tree, you know, you see the shape of a tree. And then when you are writing it, the origin was a shape of a tree. Now it has evolved and it's a little different. But if you go back and you study that, they are called the radicals in the language. Anyways, you will see that progression.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on. Every day you're like in front of all this amazing, interesting knowledge and culture. And it's just fantastic. And the island, Taiwan is an island. Very close to mainland China, and it's an island. It's this ocean. The ocean is everywhere. It reminded me of Colombia because it's a lot of green, a lot of mountains.
It's
a big mountain chain, and I love hiking, so I used to go hiking like every weekend when I was there.
Was it easy for you to learn Chinese? How long did it take to start using the language to get by, to talk to people? Like, did you learn it in 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year? How does this process work for you?
Well, I haven't learned it yet. You know, I know, like, I think I will be an intermediate level
now?
Proficiency in the language. Because my intent was not to learn it fully, was to learn it so I could chat with people when I travel.
Right.
So it was difficult, yes. It was fun, yes. I had no pressure to learn it. I wasn't learning for academics. I wasn't learning for a job. Yeah. I wasn't learning for a certificate. I was learning for fun,
yeah,
and to get to know it and to understand it and to explore right. other ways of thinking mm-hmm. and other ways of being and other ways of communicating. So it was a lot of fun. There was no pressure. I could go at my own pace within the course, within the constraints of the program, right? But it was not stressful. I had a lot of fun. I wasn't afraid to make mistakes. I would go to stores. Sometimes I got frustrated because I felt like I was repeating the word, that one word, and no matter how many times I said it, they still didn't understand it. And Mandarin is very complicated because of the tones. They have four tones. Oh, yeah. So there are certain words, many words that depending on how you say it, they will mean something different.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one that I remember sure. very much was the word for sleep and the word for dumpling.
Uh-huh. What is it? What is the word
for? So I went to a restaurant with friends, and then one word is shui jiao. And the other one is chui jiao. And when I was there, I was saying it wrong. So they were like, why are you tired? What do you mean? You don't want any food? And I'm like, and I kept repeating the word.
Can I have some sleep, please?
Yes, exactly. But it's super similar. Chui jiao or chui jiao. And I was like, oh my God. And so there were like many words. There are many words like that. So it's a struggle. The struggle right. is real, like they say.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But I keep trying and I keep learning and I keep watching Netflix in Chinese and I try to practice with friends. But I love it. I love the process.
No, this is great. Something that you said that I really caught my attention was when you say you like learning the language because you want to understand and explore other ways of thinking, right? And you had fun and you were not afraid of making mistakes. And that's something that I have always said to language educators, meaning the language should be used for those purposes. How can I use the language that I'm learning so I can understand other people? How can I use the language so I can have fun? How can I use the language worry-free? Unfortunately, we are in a context right now in which everything is standardized, everything is measured, and then there is this pressure that you have to learn whatever language just because of this. So I like what you said, because that's what the core idea of learning any language, regardless, English, French, Italian, even indigenous languages, mm-hmm. should be about that, having that engagement and excitement that you have shown today about how can I use this language to learn about others. And that's what that's what I like it, because that's what in this podcast and all the work that I have done is about, pushing the idea of let's learn the language so we can learn from each other, respect mm-hmm. each other, understand each other. So now that being said, I understand that then after that, now you're learning the language, you got interested with the culture, and then you came to the University of Toronto, the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education, and then you decided to study a master's.
Mm-hmm.
And then within the master's, you decided to do some kind of research related to this culture,
yes.
and this language, how we connect this to that.
Yeah, so I started a master's in education, actually in a different program, adult education.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm in higher education.
Oh.
But the thing what happens, like my first semester, so I didn't have background in education. I had background in engineering.
Right.
And I was nervous at the beginning, right? After 23 years of not going to school, I went right. back to school to do a master's in a completely different field. So it was kind of scary. Mm-hmm. And I was very fortunate because mm-hmm. I encountered these professors that really inspired me and motivated me and encouraged me to learn and to explore. So mm-hmm. I believe you had the podcast last week with Professor Ruth Hayhoe, or recently.
Yes, last week.
So yeah. I was taking a course with her that was called International Academic Relations.
Wow.
And for that course, you know, in every course you need to write a paper. And I wrote a paper about Taiwan. I did a comparative paper comparing Taiwan and China and how they, through education,
mm-hmm.
they look to promote their ideas and their culture in different ways. I don't want to get into the differences mm-hmm. Of the conflict. There is a
yeah.
a big conflict between Taiwan and China, and it's all geopolitics.
Right. Sure.
So that's really related to that course, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because I had been in Taiwan, I had some knowledge of it, so I decided to dig deeper and work on that paper.
Yeah.
And as I was working on that paper, I would participate in class, I would say things, and at first I was scared because I felt like I'm not an expert, I have nothing to say. But with Professor Heiho, I felt very welcome to share, and I was learning, and I think professors understand that very well and give you that opportunity. So, encouraged by the feedback I was getting from my professors, Professor Heiho, Professor Elizabeth Buckner, as well in another, I was taking another course with her, I felt, oh yes, I can do this. So I was doing a Master's of Education.
Right.
10 courses in and out in 1 year.
What?
That was what's in my mind. Like, that's what I was thinking. And then what happened was, that first semester, because I was interested in Asia at that point, I joined Monk School newsletter.
Yeah.
And like in November that year, this came out like, oh, there's an opportunity to get funding to do research in Taiwan.
Oh.
So there is the Asian Institute within Monk's School was promoting this program. It was called Taiwan Big Ideas.
Wow.
And at that point, because I've had feedback about other things, I felt, oh, maybe I can do this.
Right.
So I put together a proposal to do research in Taiwan the following summer.
Right.
And I chose the topic of international students in Taiwan because when I was in Taiwan before, I met many students from Latin America doing their undergraduate degrees
in Taiwan.
Wow. And they were mostly recipients of scholarships from the Taiwanese government. And through talking to them, I found that it was so difficult to go through the language training to be able to study. I don't know. I just remember people complain a lot and they were sad and disappointed at times.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, I would like to understand why is that happening?
Right.
And what can we do? Maybe there's something we can do to help to inform others of how to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I put together a proposal and my two professors I just mentioned, they kindly, you know, gave me some very good references.
Nice.
And I was awarded that's like a scholarship, that funding. So the following summer, I went to Taiwan and I became a researcher. I didn't take any methods course yet. I have to really go and read and study and check with my professors to be prepared to do this, you know, the best way possible.
Yeah.
So yes, I did. I did go to Taiwan. I interviewed 13 students to understand their motivations to go there, their experiences in general, academic, outside of the classroom, challenges, opportunities. Yeah,
right.
And that was how everything started.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So you like the idea of doing research to the point that now you're studying your PhD.
Yes,
so we're telling our listeners all the story when Adriana started everything back in Colombia a while ago. And now we're moving into the last section, which is now you're into the PhD. And how do you feel about it now that you're in the PhD?
I feel great. I discovered through that experience that I like doing research. I saw a lot of value in doing it.
Mm.
And from the moment I decided to do a PhD, I kind of knew what I wanted to work on, what my research kind of was going to be.
Right.
So I definitely was interested in international students. I discovered that through that first research.
Right.
And second, as most of the things I do in my life, it has to be something obviously that speaks to me.
Right.
And what speaks to me, as I mentioned earlier, since I was little, connections with cultures and other people, and how when you ask me the question about what do you see in common among people all over the world, I said, I see this, and I don't think it's necessarily positive if it's not balanced.
Yeah.
So when I was thinking about my PhD, that's what came first. I'm like, yes, I want to do research in a destination, in a location that is not mainstream. It's not that study. It's a different culture with a different language.
Yeah.
Just so people get to know more about it.
Right.
You know, and maybe by looking through that, they can understand it better and they can see the advantages, they can compare, they can share, they can, you know. So that was that's basically like my motivation to do it in this particular region of the world.
Yeah.
It's just to bring together different cultures, mm-hmm. different languages, mm-hmm. and to promote this idea that I believe in so strongly that there are strengths in every culture.
Mm-hmm.
And there are beautiful things in every culture, and not necessarily one is better than the other. We can just, you know, look at something else and grab it and take it and see how does it work for me and what that I have can it work for them. You know, even like friends, we're like friends like that. You know, you see your friends and they're different personalities than yours, and you mm-hmm. see how can you learn from each other.
Exactly.
So we can do the same at many other levels. And I think that that will have a big impact if we continue to do this individually and in research. And it just practices all over the world. I think it's, everything can be much better. People can be living more in a more harmonious environment,
right.
full of respect, right? Respect and sharing of values.
See, you have touched on the main tenet of this podcast, which is
mm-hmm.
which is understanding the other cultures. And you said we can take what works for you from other cultures, right? There are strengths in every culture, and every culture has something that would speak to you specifically. And maybe there are other cultures and other languages
mm-hmm.
that then may not resonate to you for whatever reason, but it's about understanding the differences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I take from this conversation with you today is learning about that. And then I encourage our listeners who are today listening to this podcast to go out, save some money, and start traveling once we are out of this COVID thing, obviously, because we're going to be safe, obviously, we want to travel. But there are other ways to travel within your city as well. I mean, I don't want to get into details about that because this is not my time. It's Adriana's time. And before we wrap up, Adriana, is there anything that you want to share with our listeners related to your experiences, related to your research, or is there any message that you want to send out to whoever is listening to our podcast today?
Yes, thank you. I think I will share that I will not tell people what to do or what not to do.
Yeah.
And I will just share that for me, it has been really a factor of growth to do this work since I was little, since I was a child. You don't have to travel to do this. You read, you know, you read books that speak about these things, you know, cultures, the life of people in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I can say you will ever really understand things, you know. However, you can begin to do that. Begin to understand and maybe try not to judge because they're different from you and say it's bad or it's not as good. Just try to understand better, like where things come from and how people value different things. And you can do that through, you know, through books, through movies even.
Yeah.
And if you can travel, of course you can travel and do that.
Exactly.
But yes, that would be something I will, you know, invite everyone to try to do, to explore things different than yours.
This is great. And thank you so much for being today with us. I leave the audience today with the idea of educate yourself, read books, as you mentioned, dig deep within yourself, explore the things that you like about yourself and also explore the things that you like about others. But overall, travel inside and learn who you are so you can experience others as well. Adriana, thank you so much for being today with us.
No, thank you, Yusi. That's been a very good experience today.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good rest of the weekend. See you guys next time.